Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
All right. Today, we are continuing our summer series called Summer School. We've been looking at different lessons from the book of Acts. The first week, we looked that we are better together. We started with the Ascension of Christ on Ascension Sunday. And then Reverend Bobo led us through just a beautiful sermon on Pentecost about what it meant for the Holy Spirit to pour out on these people and for the church to be born. And since then, we've looked that the early church can teach us that we are better together. And last week, we looked that they knew the worth of Jesus, that while they did not have money to give the beggar, that Peter knew what he did have in Christ was worth more than anything else. And so that's where we're going to pick up today. We're going to skip a little bit ahead. We're going to be in Acts chapter 5. And I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 21. So hear the word of the Lord this morning. Verse 12 of Acts 5 says this: Now many signs and wonders were being done among the people through the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet, more than ever, believers were being added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. A great number of people would also gather from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were cured. Then the high priest took action, and he and all who were with him, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, being filled with jealousy, arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said, "Go stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life." When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching. This is the word of God, given for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask that you would speak through this word, that by the power and inspiration of your Holy Spirit, we would receive it with joy, that we would allow it to move and to direct us as we leave this place. Amen. So this week I read a story that I thought was ridiculous. I didn't think it had anything to do with what I wanted to preach, but I saw it five or six different times in five or six different places. And so I said, "God, I got the point." So the story is of the famous Coach Bear Bryant, for those of you who are Alabama fans. The two of you. But Coach Bear Bryant was out hunting, duck hunting with one of his buddies, and they'd had a pretty successful day, and Coach Bryant had not missed, and he was very proud that he was doing very well in his hunting. Then towards the end, as they were about to clean up, one single duck came flying down where they were. Coach Bryant aimed, he fired, and the duck flew away. He looked at his buddy and he said, "There's something you don't see often. That's a dead duck flying." He was so confident that there was no way he could have missed, that duck must be dead and somehow still able to fly. And so as I started thinking what we can learn from the apostles from the book of Acts today, is lesson three is going to be that they were bold and confident. They were bold and confident. Bold is defined as being fearless before danger. Confident, bless you, is defined as being full of conviction or being certain of something. And so then, how does that all flesh out? What does that all mean for us? Well, the first reason that these apostles, these early church goers in the book of Acts were bold and confident is because they used their evidence. So for those of you writing down, that's the first key, is they used their evidence. We see in Scripture, verse 12 says that many signs and wonders were being done among the people as they gathered there on kind of the porch of the temple, even to the point to where they were bringing sick people in the streets, not so Peter could touch them or pray for them, but so his shadow might fall on them. That may not sound like a big deal, but let's not forget who Peter is. He is also the one that has failed time and time again. These people would have known him as the one who had failed and one of the ones who had abandoned Christ. And now they believe in so much of what the Holy Spirit's doing through him, they just want his shadow to fall on them. And we see that great numbers of people were being saved and added, that this was not only happening in Jerusalem. Remember back to Acts 1:8 that Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses. You will be it here in Jerusalem, but you'll also be it in the countryside and then to the ends of the earth." Well, now the people in the countryside are getting wind. They're hearing about what's happening, so they're coming closer to Jerusalem. And we know that Samaria was one of those villages that Jesus mentioned, and they would have never made their way to Jerusalem. But something magical must be happening. Something powerful is happening. We used to tell our players all the time that hitting was contagious. Have you ever heard that? That hitting in baseball or softball is contagious. And I'm not sure I buy into it, because if I get up to hit, or if Anna hits before me and she gets a hit and she's just better than me, I still might not be any good. And if Anna gets out and then I get a hit, well, that just means she's no good. But hitting is actually contagious, and here's why. It's because it's mental. If the person before you stands in there, and let's say you've been told this pitcher is really, really good, and the person before you gets a hit, well, now when you step up to hit, you're like, well, they're human. I mean, they might be good, but I've seen Johnny get out 47 times in the last 3 weeks, and if he can hit this guy or girl, so can I. And so then you get in with a little extra boost of confidence, and then it just keeps spreading. The same happens on the other side. If you've seen this pitcher strike out 7 straight people, and then you get in, you're already thinking, oh my goodness, this person's really good. Sometimes I think we fail to remember the evidence we have of all the great things God's done. See, some of us grew up in the church and we don't remember being new to the faith. It's just part of our story. But some of us were new to the faith at one point, and there was this massive change, and we were on fire for Jesus, and we were just going to take on the world. But slowly over time, life starts happening, and we might forget all the evidence that we have. So church, what was the last time, when was the last time that you truly stopped and looked at the evidence of your life and allowed that to make you bold and confident in who Christ is? The second reason, or they were bold and confident, is because of that evidence, they trusted God. They trusted God, and I've said every week that they had the advantage because they actually sat with the risen Savior. They had an advantage there. They saw it with their own eyes. But we pick up in verse 18, and it says that the apostles were arrested and they're put in public prison as a way to shame them. But during the night, an angel of the Lord came and unlocked the prison. I know that sounds very weird to us, but I want you to imagine being an apostle. Jesus has told you to do all this, You saw what happened to him when he got arrested, and now here you sit in prison. And the angel opens the door and basically says, go back and start doing the exact same thing that got you here in the first place. I'm not going to speak for you because I think that would be insulting. But if somebody opened the door and I was in prison, I'm making a run for it. I'm not sticking around in town for them to get up the next morning and find out that one, I'm missing, and two, I'm still hanging out where they found me the first time. I think that's when you head to Mexico or Canada or wherever you can get as fast as you can. But they didn't, because they knew that if God unlocked the prison one time, that he could do it again. And he does. All through the book of Acts, we can look and see how people were freed from prison through earthquakes and angels and all these other things. And this is not necessarily part of the sermon, but some of you right now in your life, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, you're living in a spiritual prison. But we serve and we worship a God who sets people free from prison. And so just let him do what he does. And once you've been set free, don't sit in fear in the prison that you've been in. Get up and go. I don't know. That's not even in here. I want to tell you a little bit about my week. And I don't want to take too much. I could talk for a week about my week. I got the privilege of being with about 60 youth. Y'all know that. Y'all know that I was kind of involved with the Sockahatchee camp this week. And Monday and Tuesday, I watched these children, some of which had never been on a roof before, get on one of the steepest roofs they've ever worked on as a camp. And they were terrified. They would put up the tow boards. I don't know if you know what that is, but they would run boards so they could stand on, sit on, or if they started falling, it would catch them before they hit the ground. And they were very timid. By the time they got the first side done and they got to the second side, they didn't move any tow boards. By the time they got to Thursday, they were too confident. Some of them were a little too bold because most of the adults' blood pressure was sky high, watching them just do, 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 do. And it was like, please sit down. At least sit down, you're going to fall. But they, because they were successful Monday, they had a little more confidence on Tuesday, and because they hadn't fallen, nobody had died or gotten hurt on Tuesday, they had a little more confidence on Wednesday, a little more on Thursday, and by the time they finished on Friday, they weren't scared at all. And I wonder how many of us are like that in our faith. There's some people here that you got a large sample size of your faith journey. And we got some people where their sample size is relatively small. But if God has seen you through every terrible moment in your life, don't you think he'll do it the next time? And we forget that sometimes. I forget that. God has brought me through many a storms. And then when the clouds start to come, I'm like, oh great, it's going to get rough again. But he already brought me through so many, I shouldn't be worried about the next one. The final thing that they see, or that I want us to see, is because they had this evidence, because they trusted God, they remained obedient. They remained obedient. They're set free from this prison, and they go straight back to the temple. Sadly, I think in our society, in our day and time, when we go through struggles in our life as Christians, we do the exact opposite. We flee from the church. Maybe it's out of shame, maybe it's out of guilt, maybe it's out of embarrassment. But when we're struggling, maybe it's out of anger, but when we're struggling to figure out what God's doing and where he is in the midst of our troubles, instead of running back to the temple like they did, we stay away from it. That's what the enemy, the opposition, wants you to do. The best thing you can do when troubled times come is get back in the house of the Lord. I know it's hard. I understand that sometimes we just need to breathe. But if we're in the midst of those moments and we're not sure why God's not rescuing us, it might be because we've removed ourselves from His presence. And we don't trust Him enough to do it. But they were obedient. They went straight back. And they are bold enough and confident enough. They just start preaching the same message that got them put in prison in the first place. The rest of the chapter kind of plays out like this, and I'm summarizing. The authorities get there. They find out they're gone. They find them where they thought they would find them, in the temple preaching. Then they have this kind of trial with them, this kind of back and forth with them, where they're told, "Did we not tell you to stop?" And then it says, "But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand, and as a leader and savior, that he might give repentance to all of Israel for the forgiveness of sins.'" And then here's what we need to hear. He says, "We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." They do not care what danger stands before them, because they know it is much more dangerous to not be obedient to God. This is the same Peter that we know prior to Easter. But this is not the same Peter. We talked about that in our Bible study. These are the same men by name, but they are not the same. Because when you are filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you cannot remain the same. The problem is, if we look at ourselves and where we are today, and if we look very similar to we did in our faith journey a couple years ago, it's because we've not allowed the Holy Spirit to continue to fill us, to continue to guide us. Then if you get to the end of that chapter, it says, we hear kind of the summation of all that's going on. And it says, "In every day, in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim the news about Jesus." They didn't just do it when they were in the temple, which they were getting in trouble for. They started doing it everywhere they went. So I want you to think, when people see you, when they see me, when they see us, when they see Emmanuel United Methodist Church, do they see the type of boldness and confidence that the early church had? Are we bold enough, are we confident enough that we can trust God in the midst of our worst times? And when uncertainty comes, are we bold and confident enough to stay obedient to what God has called us to do? You see, you can tell somebody that you're obedient to God, but they don't need you to tell them that, because your actions and your words tell the story long before you ever mention His name. The apostles knew they had a story to tell, and they knew that as long as the Holy Spirit was with them, they didn't care where life took them. Now, as we work through we only have a couple more weeks in this series, but eventually they will get outside of Jerusalem, and some of the apostles will start going and planting churches in the surrounding areas. And then eventually they will begin to even leave. And we're here today because what they did reached the ends of the earth. But now we enter the story, and we have a role to play. It is now our job to continue telling that story, to continue pushing it further, taking it farther. Because we have the evidence of the past, we can trust and we can be obedient to what God is calling us to do. So what will others say about us? Because one day, this time, 2019, somebody one day will look back on this era and they will evaluate what Christians did with the gospel of Jesus Christ. One day, somebody will look back over the history of year 1 through 99 so they can celebrate a 100th anniversary under this name and through this congregation. What will they say? What will they find about the role we played? Will they say we were bold? Will they say we were confident? My prayer is that they will. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.